Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Stephanie Officer. President Trump on social media says Israel and Iran have agreed to a ceasefire, Trump branding the conflict the 12 days war. Speaking to ABC News, former CIA Assistant Director Matthew Barrett said it was only days ago that Israel was threatening to assassinate Iran's Ayatollah.
If they want this to last, I think threats against the supreme leader in Iran are going to have to probably abate. And we'll have to see what whether cooler heads in Iran emerge.
Meanwhile, Russia and China condemned the U.S. strikes on Iran's nuclear facilities. Speaking to ABC News, former U.S. ambassador to NATO, retired Lieutenant General Doug Lute, called Russia's condemnation ironic.
Russia has increased the tempo of its attacks on Ukraine. And the Ukrainian casualties over the last couple weeks surpass the casualties in either Israel or Iran.
This is ABC News.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The world is reacting to the U.S. military strikes in Iran, and that includes our Wisconsin federal lawmakers. Lisa Hale reports.
Wisconsin's two U.S. senators are split in their reactions to President Donald Trump's bombing of Iranian nuclear facilities Saturday. Republican Senator Ron Johnson told Sunday Morning Futures on Fox News that he supports the president's decision not to let Iran become a nuclear power.
So President Trump has been very clear. We could not allow Iran to become a nuclear power. They were getting too close. They simply would not listen to him. They wouldn't give it up. They could have given this up years ago.
Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin said the administration's actions without congressional approval ignores the Constitution and puts service members at risk and puts us, quote, on the verge of an all-out war. See our story at civicmedia.us for more reactions from Wisconsin lawmakers.
And tonight, the Madison Metropolitan School District is set to take up its preliminary budget. Under the current plan, all staff across the district would get about a 5% increase in pay. That's according to the State Journal. Their story reports that about 55% of the district's proposed budget would go towards staff pay. Most school districts across Wisconsin are in the middle of their budget process, but there's a wrench in that planning because the legislature doesn't have a budget for the state yet. However, they do know Republican proposals would not give school districts any additional general aid funding, just some increases for special education funding. Plus, Governor Tony Evers would have to approve that plan. This is a preliminary budget, and if it's approved, the district can make changes in the fall when they have finalized numbers from the state on funding and know their exact enrollment for the year. The Madison Board of Education meets tonight at 6 o'clock. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, 92.7 WMDX News.
The Pirates come to town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers and Pirates face off tonight at AmFam Field. Milwaukee with a 9-8 win over the Twins and a 3-game sweep in Minnesota. The last time that happened was 1996. The Brewers now in second place, just 3.5 games behind the Cubs in the NL Central. The Cubs losing yesterday 14-6 to the Mariners. Racing, Alex Palou wins the Expel IndyCar Grand Prix at Road America in Elkhart Lake, becoming the first driver since A.J. Foyt in 1975 to win 6 of the first 9 races of the season. NBA, Oklahoma City Thunder are the NBA champions after beating the Pacers in OKC in Game 7, 103-91. Say Gilgeous Alexander, leading with 29 points, showing concern for the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton, who suffered a torn Achilles tendon in the first quarter.
Like, I couldn't imagine playing the biggest game of my life and something like that happening. It's so unfortunate. It's not fair.
That's the Thunder's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
A severe thunderstorm watch has been issued. High damaging wind gusts expected around 60 to 70 miles per hour. Heavy downpours, lots of lightning, and hail is possible too, which could be up to the size of ping pong balls. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 83 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
Angela Lang joins me at the top of the show. We discuss the U.S. military strikes in Iran. Are they a big wag the dog, a distraction from Donald Trump's big brutal bill and its impacts in Wisconsin?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The John and Gordy Show.
I've got a Prius.
Yeah.
I hated Prius drivers.
And then you became one.
And then, yeah, I was looking for a used car and I found a Prius. I'm going to give Prius owners a good name. I'm going to change the impression people have of Prius drivers.
Really? That was your mantra?
By cutting people off, driving fast as hell through their neighborhoods.
Get a Prius.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. All right. So I just said it was still hot outside, and now here it is. It's like raining. I'm looking right out at State Street, and I'm going to be walking home in the rain. So there you go. I hope it cools things off, though. Hey, welcome back to Nightlight. This is hour number two. We are live from downtown Madison, broadcasting from Madison tonight and tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, Kalen Cole will be here in the studio performing, and we will be talking about some superstars, some cinematic sisterhood in Milwaukee, thanks to Milwaukee Film. Susan Kearns will be here, so another fun night. Tomorrow night, live from Madison. We just had a great conversation with Cat Rhapsody from Cat and the Hurricane. Very excited to see them. They're playing Pride Fests all around the state for the next week. Sheboygan, Oshkosh, and here in Madison on June 30th. Coming up at 7:20, Daryl Burnett will be here. He is the curator of the Green Bay Automobile Gallery. He's going to be live in studio here in Madison because he spends half of his week here. We'll talk movie, cars, and all kinds of fun stuff. Our question of the night, ladies and gentlemen, is it is National Onion Rings Day. What is your favorite side order? And Dom says applesauce, which is just weird enough.
It is just weird enough. You have to always incorporate the cinnamon, though. Always incorporate cinnamon. That's the go-to. That's what really, really makes it.
It's a superfood, too.
It's a superfood.
Let's be honest.
Absolutely.
Healthy. All right. Mine is a baked potato. Good old-fashioned baked potato. That's a side dish you could set your watch by. A baked potato with butter. I don't think you can be any more mainstream than that. Bridget from the 818 says, roasted vegetables with a little goat cheese. Corn on the cob in the summertime with butter and salt. Bridget is not afraid to fire up the grill and do some serious side. That's a great one, too. We'll read your stream comments in just a bit. Right now, I want to get back to the show because a good pal of mine is going to join us for a few minutes here and tell us what he's working on. He is a Madisonian who has been here in the studio. I'd hope to have him here this time, but he said, Pete, not only do I not like you, I don't like your show. No, he said, I'm out of town, but I would love to be on the show. So he joins us now on the stream, filmmaker and musician, singer, songwriter, James Runday. Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Where are you now?
I am in La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Oh, La Crosse. I thought you were like way up north. Okay, so you're there on a...
We are going... Sorry, I shouldn't even say this on the air. Like a poor PBS employee, I didn't look at the call sheet quite... super well, and I didn't realize that Superior was actually tomorrow night. So tonight I'm only in La Crosse, but we're making the 4-hour trek up to Superior. ETA or ETD 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Oh, all right.
Actually, the hotel is letting us extend our checkout time, so that's nice.
That's huge, and that's really.
I shouldn't be saying that. I shouldn't be blabbing about that on the air. They told us to keep it on the download.
And now everybody's going to roll in there.
Yeah, now everybody at the Radisson.
We heard PBS is getting late checkouts. You sons of guns. Can you talk about what you're filming or is this a new project?
Yeah, I can talk about it. We're just shooting. Actually, this is a good promotion. It's a good tie-in. We're shooting host segments for Wisconsin Life, which is a local favorite on PBS Wisconsin.
Yeah,
it's our locally produced programs where feature segments about people from all over the state doing really cool things and surprising things. I've learned so much. Just being a videographer on the show has taught me so much. But these aren't segments themselves. What we're shooting here in La Crosse, Superior tomorrow, and then Chippewa the following day is like the host. So the time you get with our host, Angela Fitzgerald, if you recognize the name, she, you know, introduces the episode and we go to a cool place each time and she gets to experience stuff today, you know, like fishing. She went fishing with the Hmong campers, which was really cool.
Listen, stop begging. I'll be on the show, okay? I just come out and ask it. We're friends.
I went on a long diatribe about Wisconsin Life there. No, like, I don't know. Actually, all of that, I'm not sure if all that's like, that's not PR language. We might have to snip this out.
All right. You just let us know, buddy. We'll take care of you. I really wanted to have you on, though, to talk about, I know you have a new project in the works. I always look for an opportunity to talk about White and Lazy or Played Out. I'm a big fan of all of your work. So do you have a new film in the works?
Yeah, well, I have, yes, a new film in the works, which I feel like is one that I've told you about before, which is the alien movie told with only still images.
Still photos.
That is going to come out. It is going to come out, ladies and gentlemen. I know nobody follows me, but if you have, you've heard me talk about this movie. It will come out. It is being worked on, and it actually has a date in my head that I'm not going to announce on air so I don't embarrass myself by exceeding it by a number of months or years.
That's fair.
But it does have a clock in my head, so that means that it's going to get taken care of.
That sounds really cool.
Right now working title Connection, but if you've seen La Jetée, here's the elevator pitch. It's La Jetée with Ken Burns a little bit thrown in there. And then you also have maybe like film noir, something like Detour. Okay. I know you're a big film noir guy.
I do like film noir. I don't think I've seen Detour. In the first one you said, you're
talking. Got to go right on the top of the list.
All right, I'm putting it down right now. But what was the first one you said?
La Jetée.
You said that.
So
like, my listeners are pretty
film buffs.
Are pretty up on stuff. But when you drop La Jetée like it's Mission Impossible or something, you might lose them. A little bit.
Qualified. Okay.
You've given me two films to watch now. Okay.
Actually, you know what? Yeah, La Jetée is a really good one because, like, so the first time I was exposed to La Jetée was in college film, still photo class. They taught us how to use the dark room and develop our own photos and stuff like that. And the professor showed us this movie, which I thought was cool because I was more of a movie guy. And I just thought, oh, I'll pick up an elective and take this art class, right? And so he showed it totally. Blew my mind. It's about 45 minutes, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. It's kind of like a middle length film. It's not really a real feature and it's not really a real short. Okay. But it was told only in black and white still images, and it was kind of post-apocalyptic, and it had like a futuristic sort of, I mean, this is kind of in the Cold War coming out of World War II and stuff, so people were obviously really freaked out about the nuclear bomb and the end of the world and all this kind of stuff. So it has sort of that gravitas to it, but it's all told in still images. It's very suspenseful.
Nice.
And it's like, I don't know why it's in why it's called in French. I don't think the guy who made it's French. It's like made by some guy named Robert, like with a kind of an Anglo last name. So
he just wanted a sexier sounding name, I think.
Yeah, because everything sounds better in French.
I think
Wisconsin
so too.
Knows that well. I mean, how many French towns do we have? We just are like, oh yeah, we'll just keep that name. You know, it sounds good. The French had a way with their tongues, you know.
I agree. I love that. That's a great idea, though. I can't wait to see what you do. Because every year I see, or for a lot of years in a row anyway, you had something every year in the Wisconsin Film Festival, and I was kind of blown away by all of your stuff. Where can people see Played Out, if they can, and where can people see White and Lazy?
Great question, and thank you for keeping me on track.
Sure.
This is all viewable on YouTube. For free. So
nice.
Honestly, that's That's the number one place people should go. Just give me a follow on YouTube. I haven't put out a video recently, but I have a few cooking. Actually, you know what else I should plug? So here are my, honestly, you know what I should be doing right now is, like, rather than projects that I'm working on, I am actively working on that La Jetée-inspired film called Connection. It's called Connection. I know that's kind of a bland title, but it's about, like, an electrical connection, a human connection, you know. So I have these stockpiles of footage. Can you hear me, by the way?
Yeah.
Still? Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. I thought I heard an echo. So I have these, like, stockpiles of footage. Like, one of them is my camcorder from childhood. I shot all of the scratch-offs, who you've played some of our tracks on air. Yeah. And we're actually later going to hear a track from the scratch-offs, my band.
Yeah.
So I recorded the whole first few years of the band history, like the real, you know, really when we first got going, first started touring and all that stuff, on my childhood Hi-8 camcorder. And so, you know, all the Zoomers nowadays love the stuff from the mid-90s to the mid-aughts. And this camera fits, you know, right in there. And the look is nice and zeitgeisty. And the footage looks great. So I have all these funny, really, really, truly funny clips of us goofing off on the road and acting like fools and rocking and rolling. And I'm going to start putting out little shorts of that just because they're funny. And then another little stockpile of footage is I took a road trip to California when I was 22 and an RV 2015. It was supposed to be a hip hop tour. I was just along for the ride just to see what happened. And we broke down in the middle of nowhere, Illinois, Peru. Sorry if you live in Peru. I don't think anybody cares about Peru, Illinois on this show. But that town, boy, you know, so we were stuck down on I-39, like outside of St. Louis. We broke down and we were stuck for three nights, 4 days in the October. One of those nights we had to sleep on the side of the road and we were freezing our, you know, what's off. And anyway, all of this is documented, like, very well and actually quite painstakingly. And I'll say that the ending of this situation was that by the fourth day, it was so cold and everybody was so tired and fed up. And I had been working with this mechanic to try and get him to come out here and, you know, fix the RV. And he seemingly didn't know what the hell he was doing because it never ended up running. It never got going. On the third night, we cranked it. It didn't go. It sputtered a few times. It didn't go. Fourth day, I sold it. He begged me not to. The mechanic was begging me not to sell it to his boss, but we sold it to the chop shop. So we hauled it in there for $2,000, clean cash. And the chop shop that we sold it to, or the mechanic, quote unquote, was attached to let's just say it was a big building with a large billboard that said XXX.
You have these great, like, almost Kerouacian type stories. Have you ever thought
that's
about...
That's all on camera, and it should be a documentary, right? Like, even just that.
Yeah, I mean,
it's interesting enough to take up 10 minutes of your time. It's like you're just watching these guys as, like, oh, yeah, because the footage at the beginning is so, like, oh, yeah, man, we're going to light it up in L.A. And then by the end, it's like somebody shot the last time somebody had the... had the gall, I guess, to shoot the last night when we were trying to start it for the last time, and everybody's huddled around the engine and the car is, like, deconstructed. You know, it's like the engine is exposed, the interior is ragged because we've, like, ripped apart every, like, possible fuse and every, you know what I mean, everything is everywhere, and they're cranking the key to try and get it to go, and it sputters for such a brief minute, and everybody's like, come on, and you just hear it go and go, and it never clicks, and it's devastating.
Funny. My guest is James Runde. He is a Madison-based filmmaker and musician, and the front man, I would say that's right, for the Scratch-Offs?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, now we have a front lady, too, though.
Okay.
Aditi Devnath. Also at PBS tie-in. Shout out to Aditi Devnath. She's a reporter on Here and Now, and does wonderful work. If you tune into PBS, honestly, a lot of listeners out there who tune into PBS Wisconsin probably are tuning into Here and Now on Friday evenings. Mm-hmm. If you are sick of the mainstream news, and if you're sick of just spin, and you're sick of, like, local news with, like, their 30-second slots and minute-long slots, seriously consider giving a look to PBS News. Because listen, folks, and I just started at PBS 2 years ago. I only just learned about this show from editing it.
Interesting.
And once I was editing it, I was like, man, this is actually really good. You're giving me that cue. Why did our house start coming in?
I just felt it was good background music for what you were saying.
It
hey,
was.
Hold that
it
thought.
Was.
We are coming
you were,
right
you were
back.
Punking me.
We're coming
you
right were back me. With James Runday. We're going to hear some great tunes. It's Beach Bob and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Looking to strengthen the bond with your pup? Dane County Humane Society offers a variety of dog training classes led by certified trainers. Classes are designed to help you and your furry friend learn new skills, improve behavior, and deepen your connection. Whether your dog is a curious puppy, an independent teenager, or a lifelong learner, DCHS has the tools and expertise to help you set the stage for a successful year ahead. Visit giveshelter.org/dogtraining to register today.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwama. We are broadcasting live from rainy downtown Madison tonight. Great to have you with me. Our question of the night, in honor of National Onion Rings Day, is what is your favorite side order? And I'm about to ask that question to my current guest, who is a Madison-based, even though he is not in town right now, a Madison-based filmmaker and musician, James Runday. Do you have a favorite side order, James?
Favorite side order would probably have to be sweet potato fries.
Nice.
I'll also go for a side salad.
Okay.
And then, you know, any other quirky side, you know what I mean, that isn't quite often on the menu.
I got to ask, what about applesauce? Is that a good side? Would you like
that? You know, I'll go for applesauce if it's like fall.
Oh,
it has some cinnamon in it or there like, you know what I mean? I'm like, all right, okay, some warm applesauce, like. Cold applesauce in the summer, like with, you know, a cold packed lunch, like, no, thank you. Pass on that. I mean, I'll eat it in a pinch if it's the only thing available. But
sure. You're starving.
But I'm still trying to get over baked potato being described as, quote, a side you can set your clock by.
It's just a good, you know, when a guy orders a baked potato with butter, you know, he's a good citizen. That's a guy that does not have shallow graves. He's never mistreated women.
You had me rolling in the waiting room with that one, sir. I was dying. I thought my mic was hot and I was blowing your intro.
Oh, wouldn't it kill you? We'll take laughs, James. What am I doing here?
Get me on the laugh track. I have a distinct laugh.
Absolutely. All right. So you're also the front man, co-front man of the Scratch Offs, and you sent us a song. Right.
I want to hear that song. Tell us a little bit about it. What's it called, and how did this come to be, this creation?
Sure, I'll try and be in brief as possible. So picking up with Aditi, basically Aditi from Here and Now, which is a great TV program, which it does not spin the news. Okay, that's the summation.
Right.
She is now the bass player in the Scratch-Offs.
Wow, nice.
And we're a trio, and we kind of sound like Nirvana now, and more so. And actually, we sound like X or Hole, or, you know, kind of 90s or like Roots of Punk, Ramones, kind of a mesh of all that. But prior to these days, prior to Aditi coming into the band, we had the original lineup of the band, which is what I was describing in that footage on the Hi8 camcorder. And this was like more of your Rolling Stones of Madison vibe. You played our song, The Night Has to End.
That's a great song.
Lineup. That's the original lineup. And we recorded all our records on 4-track tape. And we were kind of like analog only and like record for super cheap and just give everybody a great show. So anyway, that version of the band ran its course, and then we played one last show so the guys left. Jacob left because he was going with his boyfriend to California. He moved in with his boyfriend. Now they're broke up, but I love Jacob. And then Justin had a kid. The drummer had a kid. So the band was breaking up. We staged one last show at a classic. If you've ever played in a punk band in Madison, or if you've ever been a punk band in the Midwest and you actually toured and were worth anything, you played Mickey's Tavern, I can guarantee you. And you set up your instruments on the floor. It's a one-room bar. It's loud. It's sweaty. Beer glasses are clinking, all that kind of stuff. And so what you folks are about to hear, the setup to this recording actually has been tied in so perfectly. I didn't even do this, Pete, but it's tied in so perfectly. Somehow fumbled my way to this. This was recorded on the said camcorder. So this is the camcorder audio of our, because I had somebody film on that camcorder our whole entire last show. So what you're about to hear is like a live album that's going to be released. And it will, if you follow us on Spotify, this will come out. You'll get access to the whole show. If you follow us on Bandcamp, you'll get access to the whole show. We'll put up YouTube clips of it too. But basically it's a live album, but we're calling it Dead at Mickey's. Because normally it's live at Mickey's, but this one, because the band was breaking up, it's Dead at Mickey's, and there's some themes of death. I'd survived 3 open heart surgeries right around this time, so there's like themes of death and stuff like that in the material. So Dead at Mickey's, this is the preview. This song is called Marie's Fish and Chicken Stand, which I've also played on your show, and it's preceded by a short video clip of me and Justin explaining why we're here and where we're at.
All right, let's hear it. Fantastic.
We are embarking on a journey to play one more Scratch-Off show in Madison, Wisconsin, as this formation of the band.
Hell yeah. We started here as open mic hosts. We ran sound here. It all comes back to Mickey's Tavern. We're in the back room kicking it. You know, the decor has changed over the years. Actually, that's been the thing.
Way on back when Marie was just a girl, stood at the hip of a grandma pearl. Girl said, girl, won't you listen to me? I'll learn you my fried catfish recipe. Well, the years went by, curl up and died. Had the next reunion, everybody cried, but not on account of her beauty or grace. They was missing old Pearl's fried chicken.
Thank you so much, buddy. We're out
no
of time,
problem.
But you
got it. Probably don't got enough time.
No, next time I'm here, you're in. Awesome stuff, and we'll talk soon. Mm-hmm. That's James Runde, ladies and gentlemen. We're coming right back.
a new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Stephanie Officer. President Trump on social media says Israel and Iran have agreed to a ceasefire, Trump branding the conflict the 12 days war. Speaking to ABC News, former CIA Assistant Director Matthew Barrett said it was only days ago that Israel was threatening to assassinate Iran's Ayatollah.
If they want this to last, I think threats against the supreme leader in Iran are going to have to probably abate. And we'll have to see what whether cooler heads in Iran emerge.
Meanwhile, Russia and China condemned the U.S. strikes on Iran's nuclear facilities. Speaking to ABC News, former U.S. ambassador to NATO, retired Lieutenant General Doug Lute, called Russia's condemnation ironic.
Russia has increased the tempo of its attacks on Ukraine. And the Ukrainian casualties over the last couple weeks surpass the casualties in either Israel or Iran.
This is ABC News.
The Pirates come to town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers and Pirates face off tonight at AmFam Field. Milwaukee with a 9-8 win over the Twins and a 3-game sweep in Minnesota. The last time that happened was 1996. The Brewers now in second place, just 3.5 games behind the Cubs in the NL Central. The Cubs losing yesterday 14-6 to the Mariners. Racing, Alex Palou wins the Expel IndyCar Grand Prix at Road America in Elkhart Lake, becoming the first driver since A.J. Foyt in 1975 to win 6 of the first 9 races of the season. NBA, Oklahoma City Thunder are the NBA champions after beating the Pacers in OKC in Game 7, 103-91. Say Gilgeous-Alexander, leading with 29 points, showing concern for the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton, who suffered a torn Achilles tendon in the first quarter.
Like, I couldn't imagine playing the biggest game of my life and something like that happening. It's so unfortunate. It's not fair.
That's the Thunder's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for something to see in the theaters, here's one of Pete's picks. 28 Years Later is really good. I'm not typically a zombie movie person, but the third installment of this riveting and at times gruesome franchise, in my opinion, is the best one so far. The film opens on a small island with people who have survived the rage virus and starts with a father and son going to the mainland. They barely make it back, but the son decides to take his mother back to the mainland after learning there is a doctor there who could possibly cure her unknown illness. If you like zombies or just great suspense, check it out. Speaking of the undead, Norman Reedus's The Walking Dead spinoff Daryl Dixon has a third season headed our way. The Walking Dead has birthed many undead spinoffs, and Daryl Dixon might be its most critically favored to date. Season 3 drops September 7th on AMC. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A severe thunderstorm watch has been issued. High damaging wind gusts expected around 60 to 70 miles per hour. Heavy downpours, lots of lightning, and hail is possible too, which could be up to the size of ping pong balls. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 74.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Joe here in Madison on WMDX about University of Wisconsin system, the legislature looking at cutting $87 million of that.
First off, you deserve incredible kudos for bringing this issue forward.
You're too kind. Thank you.
You've led the way, and you've been keeping at this question of the two-year campuses and what does the system mean throughout the time that you've been on radio, and we really appreciate it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings, but there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. Go-to for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll have on Alex Widorski of the Nature Conservancy talking about the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Project and conservation around the state. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4
Welcome back. Oh, yeah. This is like one great music segment after another tonight. Cat in the Hurricane, James Ronde, Little Springsteen. We are barreling through a Monday night edition of Nightlight, coming to you live from downtown Madison. I'm still going to say it's a beautiful night. My current guest might disagree with me. Folks, better late than never. Daryl Burnett has made it here. Daryl is the Director of Curation and Preservation at the Green Bay Auto Gallery. However, he is live in studio here in Madison. I don't want people to think we're pulling a fast one on him here, but your job is in Green Bay. You're live with me in Madison tonight because you live down here part of the week. Daryl, welcome to Nightlight.
Well, thanks so much, Pete, and I'm so honored. And by the way, Dominic, I think that's my new walk-up music.
New walk-up music.
No matter where I go, I want to be accompanied by that because that was truly beautiful.
Thank you.
I loved it.
I'll make sure to send it over.
Everybody needs a little background music every once in a while. So you found the place, you got rained on, but you look fine. No one would ever know that. And we were sharing stories during the break about how I got caught in a torrential downpour once. I wasn't ready for this either. I got a 100-yard walk back to my hotel and I'm going to get soaked.
Oh, the skies just opened up. But you know what? It's beautiful in the studio.
Absolutely.
And you're a beautiful guy. So what could be better than to spend the night with my friend Pete?
Well, spend the night. We got two segments here, buddy.
Let's not
get crazy. I hope your wife finds the place.
I don't want to get
too
greedy on the segments. You know, two will be fine, Pete.
Okay. Well, we had you for three.
Right.
But and that happens with GPS. I remember telling, it took me in a totally wrong, and I'm like, there must be a road sign or something they didn't update. I don't know what it is.
I was going around in circles, and anything you would like to know about the Capitol in downtown Madison, just ask me, because I'm now a foremost expert.
You're like that scene in European Vacation where they keep circling Big Ben and Parliament.
That's right.
Well, let's get to it. I'm excited to have you here, Daryl. And like I said, we'll do this again in Green Bay. It's so fun you could join me tonight in the studio in Madison. Tell us, for people, we are on statewide, tell us, for people in Northeast Wisconsin, but anyone else who wants a road trip to the Green Bay Automobile Gallery. What do you guys do there? What is it? Tell us all about it.
Well, it's a fabulous place. We're now in our 10th year. So our first official date was January 1st, 2016. And it was the vision of our founder, William Red Lewis, who had PDQ car washes, but also his big contribution was he invented or was one of the inventors of the touchless car wash. And along the way, he did a lot of civic work, gave to great causes. And one day he was looking at his collection and said, you know, we should do something for the community. And I have to tell you, Pete, 10 years ago, no one would have walked across the street to come to our building or buildings now.
Wow.
And last year, we had all 50 states and 37 countries represented at the gallery.
What?
So we see ourselves as a window to the world, in a matter of speaking.
Wow. Through automobiles.
Right.
Now, it's funny. I'm not a car guy, necessarily. I do have a Maserati, but I drive very slowly.
Back up just a moment. You talk about bearing the lead. I'm not a car guy, but I've got this Maserati.
I don't have a Maserati. I'm really not a car guy, but everything that, you know, something is a good museum when it's not necessarily your cup of tea, but it's fantastic. You guys have so many great exhibits. You got movie cars. You've got old Model Ts.
Yes.
Tell us what, if for someone like me or other people out there who don't know a lot, who aren't car geeks, what would we gravitate towards there?
The Automobile Gallery and Event Center is more for people like you, Pete, than it is for the aficionados. We have 113 years represented, but I've often said this, and I really use this to drive me in my curation and preservation, and that is there are two things in life that define us more than anything else, cars and music.
Mm.
They will tell us at what point we were in our lives at a particular time, and I often, when I'm giving a speech, will ask, how many of you remember what you had for breakfast 2 days ago? Almost no one. Right. How many of you remember your first car?
Yeah.
Now, no matter how ratty it was or if it had holes, it leaked, there's that beloved part of it. And that's what I really work toward. As I like to say, we have a 100-story building in downtown Green Bay, and we hope you enjoy every one of them.
That's great. What, are you a car guy?
I am.
Okay.
You know, I was smitten when I was 7 years old, my father would get Popular Science magazine, and there was a section in every issue where it just featured new cars, and I memorized every model for years.
Oh, wow.
And that was really the start, and then obviously it got to a point where I could actually collect a few cars, and then how I wound up at the Automobile Gallery and Event Center was I ran some large events for charity over the years, and when our founder was getting up in age, and he's since passed away in 2021, I received a phone call from the president of the board saying, we think you would be the perfect person to take over, and it has been a wonderful run. I never thought at this point in my career that I would have such joy, and it really has been a joyous experience.
Is it a joyous experience because you've done other jobs, I'm sure, that brought money in that you liked, but now you're in this sweet spot where, oh my God, I love cars all my life. This is like a dream job, really.
It really is. My 94-year-old mother thinks that I sit and gaze out at cars all day long. That's not quite the case. It's a lot of hard work, but yeah. I use my relationships that I've developed over the last 40 years, Pete, to literally recruit cars from all over the nation. And we were talking off the air about your connection to Hollywood. Just the other day, Carsey Werner worked with me. We've been talking about this for a couple of years, but we have the Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser that was from the 70s show that's going to be coming to the gallery in perpetuity.
Oh, wow. That's, as it should, because that should. Show was right. Set in Wisconsin.
Set in Wisconsin. And so I never know what's going to be on the other end of the phone when each day starts. But again, we have cars from here to Texas, and we hope everyone comes out and takes a look, because if you saw something that you liked, a month later, something different will be in. Because we will never get stale. That is a vow that I took early on, and it's really been a hallmark for us.
So what does that mean? You just keep acquiring, you make the campus bigger so you can accommodate all the new things you obtain, the new cars?
That's part of it. Okay. And then we have two other facilities where we store cars. So we're always moving things out, moving things in, but we have special displays. In fact, one of the great ones right now, and I'm very proud of this, I worked on it for 7 years, we have the first James Bond collection in the history of the state of Wisconsin right now at the Automobile Gallery and Event Center. So you don't have to go to Germany. You don't have to go to London. You can come to Little Green Bay, Wisconsin, and see these original James Bond vehicles.
My guest is Daryl Burnett. He's the Director of Curation and Preservation at the Green Bay Automobile Gallery. A sweetheart gig for a lot of people, I would imagine. Tell us more. How does Green Bay, Wisconsin get a James Bond car? How much of your job went into tracking this down? Did it fall into your lap? How did that work?
It all boils down to one word, relationships.
Yeah.
Many of the collectors who share their vehicles with us typically would not, under any circumstances, either because of the value or because they just never let them out of their sight. So I sometimes spend years developing these relationships and trust. But something I'm really proud of, Pete, is when someone walks in our door, immediately there is an image of this is a clean place. It's a pristine environment. The people are nice. You're going to be thanked when you come in. You're going to be thanked while you're there. And you're going to be thanked when you leave. And there aren't a lot of places anymore where you can get that kind of nice feeling.
Right. How much does it cost to get in? And do you offer package? Like, are you hoping to draw everybody, or do you have a specific clientele you like to entertain at the museum?
All ages. Okay. Anyone who doesn't even have to be a car fan, as we talked earlier.
Yeah.
Anyone who is curious, and every vehicle has hopefully a well-written storyboard. I write all the storyboards, and they're written to entertain and educate instead of being stodgy like a lot of museums and different venues happen to be.
Right.
This is about having a good time, bringing a smile to someone's face. And I just build on that. And sometimes we do special displays. We'll do Shelby Mustangs, you know, from all years, and then we'll turn it around and do something from the 30s. We'll bring Cords and Duesenbergs and things of that nature in. But whatever we do, we want to make sure it's worth the $15 they pay to get in. And, of course, seniors and veterans pay less. But $15 gets you the James Bond collection. And not to make any disparaging marks because I don't mean this at all, but where the James Bond collection came from, it was 6-7 times that to go in and see the same vehicles. So
why did they get rid of it? Or what happened? They just needed the space or what?
No, they're in demand all over the world. And in this particular case, they came from the Griffin Science and Industry building in Chicago. Their contract was up. Again, I had worked on this for 7 years. I happen to know the founder of the Ian Fleming Foundation for 22 years. And I talked to Doug Radinius repeatedly saying, Doug, you know, we need to make this happen. Well, they would be in London or they would be in Washington, D.C. or somewhere like that. And it just happened that everything fell into place. And after 7 years, Pete, everything came together in 8 days, including the shipment of these vehicles, the placement of the vehicles. And we opened on the Tuesday night of the NFL draft to a great reception at the Automobile Gallery.
Wow, that's cool. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So what movies, what Bond movies would this type of car have been in?
All of them. We spanned Sean Connery to Daniel Craig.
Gosh.
And I will share this little nugget tomorrow. Now, obviously, this is going out statewide and this will be on a podcast. But tomorrow, we're getting the Daniel Craig Aston Martin Vanquish at the gallery. And I have a verbal commitment for the Goldfinger James Bond DB5 to be coming in for our Brits on the Bay car show August 23rd. So your reaction is exactly what I go for on a daily basis. It's like, what can we do to put a smile on someone's face?
It's really impressive that this museum in Green Bay is getting all this these incredible movie cars. I mean, that's a testament to you, I would assume. And you can toot your own horn, Daryl, but that's like, and we have a logging museum in Marinette. I don't even know where those logs come from. You know, I don't know. There's no history behind them. But that's really impressive, you know.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
you guys also
that.
Host events.
Yes.
What kind of events can people have at the car gallery?
Any kind you like. We have over 200 events a year. And, you know, we have everything from corporate events to parties to holiday parties to even celebrations of life. Because we've had several, and this touches my heart, Pete, people who've repeatedly come to the gallery. They loved being there. And when they pass away, that's what they want their last memory to be.
A funeral, basically.
Right.
At the, okay.
Exactly.
Wow.
I mean, not often, but enough that it really touches my heart.
Have you ever seen the movie Night Shift?
I have.
That's a great movie. And I love when the pimp, for lack of a better phrase, dies, and one of his girl says he wanted to be buried in his car. He says that to Henry Winkler, who runs the morgue. He said, we don't do that. You would have to talk to the family or the Department of Motor Vehicles.
By the way, being a comedian, that movie spawned one of the greatest one-liners in history. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Nice frame.
Well, Michael Keaton turns to Henry Winkler and says, that Barney Rubble, what an actor.
All right, Daryl Burnett is here. We'll have a few more minutes with Daryl after a very short break. Don't go anywhere, folks. We got to wrap this thing up. We're coming right back. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Keeping you connected to your local community with good news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you think you know the story behind Summerfest, you may be surprised to learn this. Summerfest didn't start on Milwaukee's lakeshore. Opening to the booms from an air show, the 9-day event in July of 1968 also included car races, soccer matches, and of course, music of all sorts. It was held at more than 35 different locations across the city. Research shows the first several years didn't make money, but rather than give up, organizers moved everything to what had been a 15-acre Cold War missile site and airport along Lake Michigan. This big decision to find a permanent site in the 1970s grew to what's known as the Big Gig, and now runs the next three weekends, noon to midnight. More history and information right here next week, and event details at summerfest.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Bogg.
Animal enthusiasts, registration is open for Camp Paw Prince Summer Break at Dane County Humane Society. Kids ages 7 to 12 enjoy animal interactions, lessons with experts, service projects, art projects, and more. Visit giveshelter.org/camp for details. And now, Dane County Humane Society has a camp for ages 12 to 14. Camp Wildside is a nature and wildlife camp, bird and plant identification, monitoring nests, wildlife games, service, art projects, and more. Details at giveshelter.org/wildside.
I'm Catherine Lake, station manager of WMDX, and here is my plea to you, dear listener. Whether you love them or hate them, please vote John and Gordy Best Radio Team in Madison Magazine's Best of Madison poll. The link is right there on our homepage, WMDXradio.com, and I say this not because they're paying me. They are, but the point is this. They may actually not be the best, but you can find a lot worse on your radio dial. Am I right? I mean, really, have you heard some of the crap that's out there at this hour? Boring, insipid. Who wants to hear that first thing in the morning? At least John and Gordy give you accurate weather information, and Peterson seems to be relatively informed. They show up for the Madison Night Market. That's not easy when you're getting up at 4 a.m. They tell you about pets available at the Humane Society. Oh, and poor Dominic. He didn't know what he was getting into, but let's put a vote in for John and Gordy and Dominic Lee. Do it for Dominic. WMDXradio.com.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me for the last few minutes here. It's boring. Oh my gosh. It's crazy. Weather in Wisconsin. Chris Casper texted us while James Ronde was on, and I wish I would have seen this. He said, I've played Mickey's. Casper's like, he's like a radio renaissance guy.
He's awesome. He's awesome.
I don't care for him personally, but he's a really talented guy. Love Chris. Sorry, I wish I would have seen that earlier, Chris. Tom from New Berlin says, the side order of Pete's humor.
Wow.
Well, put that on the menu. I love it, Tom. Thank you. Steady Eddie, he's in the 608. He says, my favorite dish, Pete, like you, I like a good baked potato. At the Wisconsin State Fair, I always get the super-duper oversized double-deep-fried twice-baked potato with tons of butter and sour cream. Match that big old tater up with a couple, two, three giant combo pork chops and a pint of Haagen-Dazs for dessert. You've got yourself a meal, my friend. Occasionally, I go a little light on butter and sour cream because I'm trying to eat healthy and watch my weight. Steady Eddie, he says, P.S. Applesauce is a side dish that's weirdly hilarious and ridiculous and probably unconstitutional. See you in court, Mr. Lee. Oh, whoa. Steady Eddie means it. I don't want to get you nervous or anything. Our final stream comments. Jim Denny says, sweet potato fries are the best, followed closely by mozzarella sticks fried, of course. I think that's the only way to eat them. Terry Barr, wish I had seen this before, too. She says, love this interview and music with Kat. Terry, thank you so much for bringing Kat to us tonight. They were great. That was a really fun interview. And Terry Barr comes through, as always. I don't even know if I can read John's text. That seems a little obscene.
Wow, that's
I'm going to steer clear of that one. JB Thompson, the guy behind the guy, says favorite side dish is steak fries. There is more, but I don't want to bore everyone. JB, what are we doing here? Never have to feel shy about sharing your favorite side dishes. Daryl Burnett is here. He is the director of curator and preservation at the Green Bay Automobile Gallery. He's live in studio, even though we're in Madison. Do you have a favorite side dish?
I do. But before I tell you what it is, yeah. I'm not beyond pandering. If Terry Barr is actually listening, Terry, I really would like to be your favorite guest, at least of the evening. Wow. So if there's anything I can do for you, just say the word. Now, back to your question, yeah. Pete. Yeah, my favorite side dish, you know, baked potatoes really got me going. I love
it's a side dish, right? You can set your watch by.
Oh.
That guy's a good guy.
But, you know, I needed a defibrillator just to hear you give that description of that potato.
Bad.
I mean, that you talk about a loaded baked potato. That it's was steady, loaded. Eddie.
He goes for shock value sometimes. And when I say clear, that's what I mean. All right, Daryl. So you have a history. Daryl runs this great automobile gallery up in Green Bay. You have to check it out. It's also an event center, and they host events, celebrations of life. I mm-hmm. love that. Mm-hmm. It sounds like an amazing place just to visit, or, you know, do you have season passes or like?
Yes, we have, single memberships. We have family memberships, grandparents memberships. And, you know, we have special events throughout the year too. We have Festa Italiana, where we bring in over $100 million of Italian cars just for one day. We have Oktoberfest, which is an equal German event. And we have Brits on the Bay coming up August 23rd. And we're going to have Ian Fleming Foundation members, authors of these definitive books on James Bond, coming in to spend time with our guests that day. And so it's going to be a tremendous season for us. And we hope everyone comes up and visits.
That sounds really spectacular. Tell us about, you spent a substantial part of your life in Illinois and parts beyond. But you've spent a lot of time here in Wisconsin. How did that, you've had different gigs too, not just the automobile gallery. Mm-hmm. How do you like Wisconsin, and are you here to stay, Daryl?
I am. My wife and I, my wife Kelly, lovely wife Kelly, it's her birthday today, by the way.
Is that her out there?
We made the commitment. Yes, okay. It is.
I'm just making sure. I don't want to get anybody in trouble here.
I have no groupies, so yes, that is my wife Kelly
out in the lobby. Daryl, come on.
But we made the commitment to live in Wisconsin about 20 years ago, and nice. I, as you say, I've lived all over the country. I mean, you know what it's like in show business. I was in broadcasting in Indianapolis, New York. Loved all those places, but some of the best and lasting friendships I ever developed were in Green Bay, which is ultimately how I got back to Green Bay in this position, because people remembered me and for good reasons and and invited me back.
Being asked to leave a party with good reason. Yeah.
and I just love this state, and I'm totally devoted to trying to make it the best state we can possibly be. And that, you know, that's not a political statement. It's actually a fact.
This is
our home.
That's great. And you were you did sports at WLUK.
I did.
In Green Bay. Was Rachel Mannick there?
No, she was after me, okay. But I know who Rachel is. Yeah. In fact, I just saw Rachel the other day, as a matter of fact. Yes. Well, I was there from 1981 through 85, and then I had a chance to go do play-by-play for the Colts in Indianapolis and be an Indy 500 pit reporter, and had some wonderful doors open to me. But they were open to me because of what I did in Green Bay, and Bart Starr became a mentor of mine and a dear friend. So I have some wonderful relationships that have helped me along the way.
Daryl, this has been so much fun having you here, and you have those golden pipes, man. You got to be like, if I were you, I would just walk around the museum and talk and have people go, who's that guy? This has been fun. Let's do this again closer to home, maybe up in Green Bay.
What are you doing tomorrow, Pete? I'd be happy to come back.
I'm doing radio here. Darn the luck, we're booked for tomorrow night.
You are.
Hopefully the weather will be drier next time, whenever we have you on.
I mean this seriously. I've done thousands and thousands of hours of broadcasting. You are as easy to be on the air with. Instantly we just fell right into this, and that's a testament to you.
I am really drunk, I have to be honest. That's my secret. You're very nice. Thank you very much, and thanks for coming into the studio. This is fun.
Thank you so much, Pete.
Tomorrow night, Kaylin Cole is rocking the studio. She'll be here live, and Cinematic Sisterhood, Milwaukee film. Susan Kearns will be here. Another great show on Nightlight tomorrow night, live from Madison. Thank you, Dom. Great job. Thank you to Cat Rhapsody. Thank you to Terry Barr. Thank you to Daryl Burnett and James Runde. We got to get out of here on behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, who is not here. Good night, Wisconsin.
This
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Stephanie Officer. Sources tell ABC News there are no plans for the U.S. to retaliate against Iran for Iran's attack today on a U.S. base in the Middle East. Iran launching a barrage of missiles in response to U.S. airstrikes on Iran's nuclear facilities over the weekend. ABC's Rachel Scott.
As Iran was launching its retaliatory strike on the U.S. base in Qatar, President Trump was huddling with his national security team in the Oval Office. The Trump administration already bracing for Iran's attack. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dan Kane, tracking those missiles from the Situation Room. Within hours, the president confirming in a post that American troops in Qatar were safe.
Meanwhile, the U.S. Embassy in Qatar has lifted its shelter-in-place order that took effect earlier today. The embassy will reopen June 24th and consular services will continue. Qatari airspace remains closed. This is ABC News. A seventh